She invades our kitchen, fills the house with the scent of pumpkin pie, and then tells us we can't have any.
Fair or unfair, no one is going to spoil their Thanksgiving dinner on my watch.
Why do I suddenly feel like I'm stuck in an episode of The Waltons?
Hello, this is Mark, and I wanted to introduce myself and let you know how to reach out to me if you have an interest in coming onto the show. About 4 years ago, I created the Walnut Grovecast podcast to discuss my love of Little House on the Prairie. Since then, I've had the opportunity to speak with many people involved in the production, and when someone asked me if I would consider creating a podcast about the Waltons, I thought it was a great idea. So here we are. When I was little, my family watched the Waltons, and I don't really remember it. I remember watching it, but I don't remember specifics. Only recently have I decided to do a complete rewatch. I hope you enjoyed the series, and if you have any questions or comments, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. My email is Mark, M-A-R-K, at thewaltonspodcast.com. And you are listening to the Waltons podcast. I have on tonight a guest coming from the sewers of Walnut Grove, or Walnut Grove cast, the sewers of Canada. How you doing? It's Matthew. I don't know. Are you going to use your last name?
Sure.
Matthew Mercier. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mark. I am honored that you've invited me to be on this new podcast of yours. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You're a Waltons fan. You enjoy the book. I mean, you enjoy the books that are associated with it, like, you know, the writings of Earl, and you enjoy the TV show.
Actually, probably be truthful, I've never actually read the books.
Oh, I thought you did. You know what? You suggested a bunch, so I thought you read them.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
But yes, I have been a fan of the show since I was a teenager. My dad's more or less the one who introduced me to it by making reference to it a few times. And then in 2004, I believe it was, you know, TV on DVD was a big, you know, was a really big thing then.
Sure.
And this company put out called TV premiere on DVD. It put out single disc DVDs of the first two episodes or one episode of a TV series that was being put out on DVD.
Oh, I see.
One of them was among them were like ER. There's also a Gilligan's Island one that had two episodes, but the one for the Waltons had the first episode of the series.
Oh, excellent.
So I watched that and I enjoyed it. And
did it have the movie or was it the first episode?
Just the first episode.
Okay, so it was the Foundling.
Yeah, that's right, the Foundling. And then I believe it was in 2000, it might have been Christmas 2004, my dad got me the first season on DVD from Amazon.
Excellent. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so I've come to quite enjoy it. And, you know, been rewatching it now that you can purchase it from YouTube in Canada, amazingly.
Yeah.
I've been watching it in that medium now, so.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a show that's always been on my radar, but I never watched it. It was never in syndication when I was a kid. The way Little House on the Prairie was in syndication, the Waltons, if it was in syndication, it was off my radar. And I heard of it. It was more of a running joke, really. But really, in my family, all of these kind of nuclear families, like these stereotypical families that have a certain level of perfection to them, were considered kind of like everyone. It got a huge eye roll in my house. But you know, when you watch,
I'm sure it did in quite a few households.
You watch these shows though, and you realize that, you know, the Waltons were not perfect. The Ingalls were not perfect.
No,
the Olsons kind of perfect, Right. No, but yeah, I mean, it's a small, I think that after a while you have to just say like, let me just dive into it and see what it's all about. And I knew by the time I was at the end of the first season that I wanted to make this podcast.
Awesome.
And, yeah. And I told you about that pretty early on, and yeah, so far, this is the third episode. There is another one that's recorded. We're not doing it chronologically. I'm backpedaling on that in case people are like, oh, goody, I'm going to get to hear all of the boring episodes spoken about. No. There are, I'm going to insult a lot of people right now. I would say a good 20% of the Waltons episodes I felt were throwaways. I'm finding them kind of boring. And I'm not going to name episodes. In the future, I will. I'll give like a top five worst episodes. But it's because you know what? And by the time I'm in season six or seven, because I'm only in season, I think the beginning of season five, maybe. I don't know where I am. It's those boring episodes might actually turn into important episodes. And that's the way sometimes a series works. A good series will work in those boring storylines. And all of a sudden that's the exciting storyline. And you have to go back and you have to learn about these things. But nonetheless, I'm having a good time watching it. I'm having a good time with the podcast.
That's good.
And welcome to the show. Let's get on with this.
Thank you.
What episode are we talking about tonight, Matt?
So tonight we are talking about season one, episode 21, The Scholar. It originally aired on February 22nd, 1973. Yeah. And it has guest star Lynn Hamilton.
Yeah, Lynn Hamilton.
As character Verdi Grant.
Yeah, great actress. I thought she was really great. She returns here and there. Actually, does she return? Because I know that... yeah, she's in the show a few more times, right? Not a lot.
She is. She's not. I don't know if I would say she's as consistent a present as.
Yeah, she's not a big, you know.
Yeah.
Coming back and doing all that kind of stuff, but she. Let's see how many episodes she was in. She was in. Big drum roll. I don't even see her it on IMDb. Maybe she wasn't even in the show. No. So, you know what? Believe it or not. She was, guess how many episodes she was in? That's the fun thing here.
Oh, gosh. 30?
She was in 17 episodes.
17. Okay, I was
now,
way
here's
off.
The thing. Mrs. Grant, who is the teacher, who also played Helen Crane on Little House on the Prairie, to those of you following, she was only in 15 episodes. And I felt like Mrs. Grant was in like a million episodes.
Oh, Miss Hunter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. I'm sorry. I'm getting this all wrong. Mrs. Hunter, the school teacher, or Ms. Hunter. I'm not really sure if she's married. Hunter is who plays Helen Crane from Little House on the Prairie. She was in 15 episodes, but Mrs. Grant was in 17 episodes.
Huh.
It's interesting.
That is, because you're right. It does feel like Miss Hunter was there more than Verdi Grant.
Yeah. Huh. Who knew? But yeah. Here we are. Let's get into our first clip here. We get our little voice over, just like we get with every episode, from Earl Hamner Jr.
Yeah, his, as you said, his Canadian voice.
it's a weird, and sometimes it sounds like he's from Boston. I'll point it out.
Yeah. I love the music, the score in this first scene.
On Walton's Mountain, the Great Depression touched our lives in many ways. Jobs were scarce. New clothes were rare. Food was simple and mostly homegrown. What we had, we shared. My father taught us by his quiet practice that sharing was our first duty and happiest privilege. And on one occasion, I had the opportunity to share an unforgettable experience with a lady who was trying to hide a secret.
He enunciates every single moment of every word. It's crazy. But you know, good for him. Our opening shot, we have like the bickering with the family. It's not very exciting. The ladies are going away for a wedding. It's Lori's wedding.
Yeah, it's some relative. I don't think we ever meet her.
Yeah, I don't think we ever meet her. But they're going on and on. And Liv is basically stating how, you know, she feels like she's leaving everybody. And of course she feels this way. She has seven kids. I mean, she's going to be able to sleep through the night. Now, one of the things on the screen, you see this coffee pot?
Boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think I get a good shot of it in this episode. So I've been paying a lot of attention to this coffee pot. And the reason being is there are certain it's an enamel coffee pot. And there are certain scratches on it, and there are certain wear on it. And if you watch it, it is being used in other people's houses. Like, it's a prop that moves to other people's homes. And it's the same one, in my opinion. Now, I'm taking screenshots. I'm trying to track it down. But in the car, which is the last episode that I reviewed, you could see the same pot being used by, I'm forgetting their name, but the people by Hyde, his family. And that's with, So I just thought it was crazy. And I've seen it so far in at least five other people's houses. So same one, same scratches, same everything.
Yeah. I guess they're limiting out to neighbors.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Hey, it was the Depression.
It was the Depression.
Yeah. So let's see. John Boy is being pretty hilarious. I'm just going to play some of this banter.
Yeah.
Come on, John Boy. Come on, Eric. We're going to be late.
Come on, Eric.
Come on, Eric. Bye, Dad.
Where's my lunchbox?
Come on. Bye, Mama.
Come on, John Boy. We're going to be late.
All haste is from the devil. Medieval Latin proverb.
Aaron, you want to be late for school?
No, Mama. I just want to let the others get ahead. I get so tired of always being part of a crowd.
Jan, Jan, Jan.
Well, this is kind of, you know, you're kind of like the middle child in seven kids. I mean, I guess I can't blame her too much.
No,
holy moly. No, I know. It's. What's weird is, though, that earlier they were talking about how Lori is a single child and it's a big deal that she's getting married. And Aaron is like, oh, to be a single child. And I thought that this was going, when I first saw it, I thought this was going to be, single child syndrome, where it's kind of like, I want to be a single child, and you kind of run away. Or I didn't know what to expect from Aaron.
Right.
And it went elsewhere.
I was just thinking, I wonder, what was that book that John Boy mentioned?
I don't know.
Destiny. And hanging likewise.
John, but what kind of talk is that?
It's in the book. John Haywood wrote it. He lived from 1497 to 1580.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that book is. It's Proverbs. There's 1,000 books like that. It's like where fortune cookies come from.
Okay.
let's see. John Boy is tutoring Elizabeth. Which is not so interesting until you start noticing that the character. And is this the first time we're meeting Verdi? Yeah, I think so, right? I could.
Yeah.
Ben.
I can't do it, John Boy.
Of course you can do it.
I can't do it. Whoops. I can't do it, John Boy. Oh my God. Oh my God. You see on the board, it says, that's wrong.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but Elizabeth, she's a little babyish for a little long, too long.
Well, you know, she is little. She's like 6 or 7 years old.
Well, here, here it's not an issue.
Squiggly. See?
Well, darling, that's because you're holding the pencil wrong. You have to hold it like this. See? You know, you should pretend like the pencil is part of your hand. Make an E.
So, they're just kind of tutoring on and on. And Verdi's like, oh, wow, this is, pretty crazy. You know, you can see she's paying a lot of interest. We don't know what the deal is yet.
Right. But,
Go on.
When he's tutoring her, he makes her write down dog. And
well, let's get to that.
Sorry?
We'll get to that. Oh, you mean just now, the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says... You know, what does that make you think of Elizabeth? And she mentions Toto from The Wizard of Oz. And I guess by this time, Oh, when was the Wizard of Oz first
38.
Published?
So, yeah, I mean, Wizard of Oz.
So it would have been out for 38 years by this point.
But it was
32 years.
But it was a book. Oh, no.
The book, yeah.
Hold on. So this is taking place in probably about 1934?
I thought it was 32, but I could be wrong.
It's around that period of time.
Yeah.
So the movie.
Not out yet. The book is out.
The book is out. But yeah, let me go to it because that's a good point.
Sorry.
Make thousands of words. You can share those words with other people. And then if you're good enough at it, you can make them laugh and cry. And you can tell them you love them. Look, put a D over here. And an O over there. And a G over there. Nothing, right? But you take them and you put them all together. And what have you got?
Dog!
But that's just the beginning of the magic. Now, when you see that dog, what does that make you think of?
Dorothy's dog in the Wizard of Oz book.
See, it's magic.
Yeah, so it's the book.
Yeah. Poor Reckless. She forgot about him.
Yeah, exactly. that flea-ridden dog. So, yeah, Verdi is creeping on in the corner.
Hello, Mrs. Grant.
Hello, Mrs. Grant.
John Boy, Elizabeth, I was looking for Miss Hunter.
Oh, she just stepped out for a minute. She'll be right back.
You make quite a teacher yourself, John Boy.
I'm just helping Elizabeth out.
John Boy, look.
Honey, where? Bird. Elizabeth, I can just see that bird soaring through the sky.
So he's so animated, you know, he's really invested, of course.
He's a good big brother.
Gertie delivers address to Mrs. Hunter.
Miss Hunter.
And they kind of go back and forth. She gives her a... Gertie has a daughter named Sarah who's in university. And she's... So, yeah, Mrs. Hunter gives her an advertisement or a classified or something about a job.
Yeah.
And saying, do you think this is something she'd be interested in? And even the way Gertie just looks, she kind of glances at it. But, of course, I think as a viewer, we're starting to pick up that she can't read it because she didn't even look at it.
Right. Yeah. She's trying, you know, she's pride, right? She doesn't want to, you know, admit that, you know.
Yeah. Let's see. And we're going through like a lot of the dinners that are being prepped for the seven kids. You can only guess how much food is being prepped for them. Holy cow. And let's see. Gertie shows up.
Catch your bus, sorry. Ben, come on, Elizabeth.
You're off on a trip.
Yes, we're leaving on the 5 o'clock bus.
Oh. I always like Liv's hat. I don't know. This is like a hat. I don't know at what point she kind of maybe gives it up or not. But there's something about it. I think it's really nice. It's timely for the period of time. And I like the Olivia character a lot.
I won't delay you. I was hoping maybe I could do some work for you in exchange for a load of firewood. You know what I can do. I can keep house, wash clothes, sew, do practical nursing.
You know we'd like to oblige you, Verdi, but well, just now I don't feel we have the need for such help.
I'll tell you what, Verdi, why don't I deliver some wood in a day or two? You can pay me back when you get a chance.
No, thank you, Mr. Walton. I'm not one to go into debt or ask favors. It was just the notion. Or enjoy yourselves in Richmond.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those kind of things where she's probably used to, if somebody's offering something like charity, to like kind of be a jerk about it. And she's maybe sensing like, wow, they're not actually jerks. Like they don't deserve this tone that I'm giving them.
Yeah. Well, she's probably known them for a long time and
yeah,
she probably trusts them as well.
They're leaving all of the children in the hands of the grandfather and John Sr., which I just think is really funny. I would have liked to see them cook. But, you know, we don't get to see that scene. Maybe hopefully
we don't get to see that.
Never. We don't ever get to see anything like that. I'm sure at some point we get to see something like that. We're at Gertie's house, and we learn that she can't read or write. And yeah. She lives with her sister. I think it's her sister. She refers to her as a sister.
Yeah,
assume it's her sister.
A thing like this is foolish.
It's no concern of yours.
Of course it is. Who have I got left to fret over?
When you're hurting, I hurt.
I manage fine.
Well, so you can't read or write. So why can't you tell that to Miss Hunter or anybody else?
Oh, you don't understand, Alice.
Well, there are more things more important than reading and writing. Like raising a family of five after your husband died.
Family of five? I didn't even think of that. I didn't even catch that. Wow.
Especially as in those days, you know.
And let's see. So they're going on and on, and she's not really sure precisely what she's going to do because her daughter is graduating.
Yeah.
And she wants to go there, and she doesn't want to embarrass her. She wants to be able to sign her name and just be there and just kind of fit in. I don't know. Maybe she thinks, I mean, I think when somebody is in a position like this, they probably think the worst. Like, are they going to make me stand up in front of everyone and read? You know, and it's like, that's not going to happen. But at the same time, if she knew how to read, that wouldn't be a fear, I guess.
Yeah. And I think she's I have to wonder if she's also embarrassed, and maybe, I don't know if I want to say ashamed.
Yeah, of course she is.
Her daughter has all this education, but she doesn't.
I don't think it's as much she's ashamed because the daughter. I just think she's ashamed because it's finally caught up to her. And she's like, wow, this is something I put off far too long. We learned that actually when Liv and Esther left, Erin is sick. She's burning up.
Yeah.
So,
tonsillitis.
Yeah, it's tonsillitis. Let's see. We're going to discuss a little bit about what happens with her.
Fine. Doc says that the operation should be just as good as new.
Good.
Everybody gets to go to the hospital, get something taken out, except for me.
Look here. Your grandpa is a year or two older than you. And he has all of his original tonsils, appendix, and his hair, and intends to keep him that way.
Come and sit down for supper, Daddy.
Well, all right, honey.
You gonna send word to Mama?
I was thinking about that coming back in the truck.
Well, you know, Daddy, the minute she hears about this, she'll be on the first bus back home.
There's no need to tell her, really. You know, Aaron's in no kind of danger.
Still, there will be need for some nursing for two or three days.
Sir, I can take care of Aaron.
So what are they gonna do? They need a nurse. John Boy's like, I have an idea.
Yeah.
John Boy, step in.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, you know my sister, Miss Perry.
Oh, yes, of course. How do you do, ma'am?
Right, so it's Alice Perry.
My sister Erin has tonsillitis. They have to come out.
I'm sorry.
Well, she got sick right after Mama left, so I kind of think she didn't want to spoil Mama's trip. Anyway, with Mama gone off to Richmond, my daddy was wondering if you might tend to Erin for a few days, seeing as how you wanted to work for some firewood.
That'd be fine,
oh,
John
good.
Boy.
So, yeah, so it's going to work out. She leaves, and she's like, this is a...
And...
What is it, Gertie?
Firewood? What are you worried about firewood at this time of the year?
That's a sign, sister. It's got to be. I'm going to that graduation. And Sarah's going to be as proud of me as I am of her.
Well, now, what has that got to do with you practical
I
nursing
love the
at
sister.
The Waltons?
What?
I love the sister. She's funny.
Well, yeah, she's very, she's a little bit, I think
practical.
She's a little much, actually. I think she's a little bit played up for the period of time for African-Americans on television. But she's, she's a good character. But yeah, she's just very animated and very loud. So let's see. So Gertie is working at the house, which is great. She comes and she's
room ready for air.
She's bringing some water for John Boy.
Nice of you to give up your room.
I think it's very nice. Like, hey, I mean, she's basically making any excuse to kind of get in her way of John Boy. I think.
Right. Yeah. She's trying to find a way to get John Boy attention.
Yeah.
Also, the sister mentioned this time of year, and this episode, I think it can be concluded this episode's taking place in the spring of 1933, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I mean, in the future, we get very, very specific dates.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's like I was looking at, like, say, Earl Hemner's age, and, you know, it's not in line at all with John Boy. You know?
No, it's, you're right. It's not. It's,
so it's a very loosely created show. And, you know, I mean, it's a period piece, but I don't think it's meant to be a documentary.
No, of course not.
So let's see. Erin is back.
She's a little groggy. She'll be all right.
How long did it take?
I love how everyone is involved. You know, that's pretty much how, I don't know. It's like how everybody kind of maybe looked at the Waltons and they were thinking, you know, this is the family to be in. You know, it's like you're always getting some level of attention. I think Erin's actions are right up there with Gertie's sister, with being way too animated and way too loud.
Well, now, did you have a nice nap? You're looking more yourself than when your daddy carried you in here. What can I do for you? You want your book?
Yeah, she's just being like, too animated, in my opinion. She wants.
Hey, where's her ice cream?
They can't afford ice cream. They're the Waltons. You don't hear one peep about ice cream, by the way, or ice or anything.
Not yet. But aren't you supposed to eat ice cream after you get your tonsils out?
Well, I mean, that's the stereotype, right?
But
I don't think they mention it once, right?
No, it's true. Yeah, you're right. No.
Let's see. She wants Gertie to read the book to her, and she's like, no, 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 no. And then Erin writes her a note, and she gives it to Gertie to read. Mark. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's okay. Go ahead.
You really want this?
What is it, Mrs. Grant?
Oh, here. See for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, she looks a little stronger. Of course, you'd be a better judge of that than I would.
She looks a little what?
Yeah, I didn't understand because I was
staller.
Whenever you watch this, I thought, well, he's not really making it clear what she wants.
Yeah, like I didn't know exactly what he said.
Yeah,
she looks a little staller. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, what did you hear?
Well, no, I didn't notice that. I should say, I just thought he wasn't making it clear to Verdi what Erin wrote on the paper.
Well, what is he saying?
Well, I think he said like, "Oh, she looks a little stronger," or is that, or let's maybe see. I misheard that.
She looks a little stronger, of course.
Oh yeah, stronger.
You'd be a better judge of that than I would. Maybe you just ought to bring the kids in one at a time.
So she's basically asking to see other people. I didn't understand his New York / Virginia accent. Stronger.
Well, it's probably just because Richard Thomas was born and raised in New York, right?
That's why I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's see. But immediately John Boy kind of senses what's up when she's just kind of handing the pad around.
Yeah.
So the next day, Elizabeth needs tutoring with her ABCs. Mm-hmm. And John Boy kind of comes up with an idea.
Balloons. Keep at it.
And it's a very sweet idea.
I think it's kind. Really, really sweet. It's exactly what you would expect from the Waltons.
I'm wondering if I could ask you a favor.
And, you know, it's like very gentle because I can't imagine being an adult and not having the ability to read or write, but you have full communication. I mean, I don't think anybody would think that for even a moment that Gertie is an unintelligent person. It's not about
absolutely not.
Her communication skills are stellar. It's just a matter that she doesn't have the ability to read or write at the moment. And it happens. You know, I don't know if it happens nearly as much as it used to, but I even think in the early 70s, literacy was such a big issue.
Well, I wonder if that's partially why they did this episode.
Well, I would imagine that in the 30s, that literacy was a tremendous issue, especially for African Americans.
Yeah, sadly.
Elizabeth is having a little trouble with her schoolwork. And I thought that maybe if we turned it into a game and you pretended that you were a student too.
Learning my ABCs.
If you're not too busy with this.
Let's give it a try.
Good.
So I think this is really, really, really nice. And the way that they're both teaching and kind of riffing off of each other. Erin literally looks like she has COVID 22 or something. She is terrible. She's like, I have a mixture of monkeypox and COVID. She looks terrible. And I don't know why she looks so terrible, being that she's supposed to be mending at this point. She's just sweaty or something.
Too warm. It feels cold enough to me. All right, I'll see if I can find some colder.
Erin, look who's here.
I think this is a really cute scene.
Get in here, man. Come on.
Henry Wagaman.
He didn't want to see them come in here.
Well, he didn't want to be seen bringing flowers to a
70s haircut.
Oh, man, I don't even know what kind of haircut that is.
Give it a bit of flowers.
It's basically a Lego haircut. It's really, really crazy. It's just a terrible haircut.
Give me the flowers, Henry. Come on.
Henry refuses to talk.
Thank you.
Hey, you're not supposed to talk.
Henry, it's a miracle. Those are the first words she's spoken.
Oh, darling, sweetheart. I love you.
My sweetheart. My dreamboat.
I've got to go.
I love this. I mean, this is literally what it's like growing up in a family like this where,
yeah,
you know, where the older siblings are just complete wise asses. It's great.
Wait for me.
But she loves
alternative storyline. Yeah. He accidentally gives Erin poison ivy.
Oh, that'd be awful. And it's like the camp out all over again from Little House. So let's see. The lesson continues downstairs, but Erin got the flowers and she wants to put them in water. She loves them. You know, they might just be some like weeds, but it's beside the point.
Yeah. They're from a boy. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
She can't talk. Erin finds a way to be bossy.
Henry Wegman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, write a B and a D, but instead of putting an E between them, put an A between them.
John Boy, I'm tired of this game. Can I go and play now?
Oh, honey, we don't want to stop now. We're just getting the hang of it.
I'll tell you what, Elizabeth, school's out now. You go play, but we're going to do this again tomorrow, okay?
Okay. I like being in school with you.
Same here, honey.
Aw.
It's very cute, but I'm going to continue playing this because we get a really kind of funny John Boy laugh.
Hi.
Thank you, Mrs. Grant.
Oh, I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
So am I. Mary Ellen, what are those things?
Bunch of weeds Henry Wagaman picked for Erin. I'm coming, Your Majesty! I'm coming!
Right here. It's almost worth clipping for future use. And that's the kind of fun that you'll find on the Waldens podcast is clipping of John Boy's laugh. Gertie's practicing and talking to her sister. Her sister's, you know, starting to show that she's proud of her, you know?
Yeah.
No, but I think he knows. Today, he made up a game just so he could give me a lesson without embarrassing me.
By the way, Gertie's doing all right for herself. Her house is pretty nice, and she does have what I'm going to guess is a great reputation as a seamstress and a dressmaker. So, yeah, I mean, she's doing well for herself. She doesn't, I guess, quote-unquote, have to learn to read and write, but, you know, she for her daughter's sake.
Well, if you wanted to go with this, Verdi, you'd be better off with a teacher from the school.
Why do you say that?
What if he should joke to his friends about teaching you your ABC?
He wouldn't. He's a very kind person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
We'll see how nice he is. let's see. We're fixing the plumbing. And I really like this scene. This is, I think, the whole thing took courage, right? But this particular scene where Gertie confronts John Boy about what's going on is, I just think, the most courageous thing that an adult can do. Especially, there's a bit of an age difference between John Boy and her.
Yeah.
You know, she's old enough to be his mother, probably.
Yeah.
Mrs. Grant, if it's all right with you, we'll have our teaching game in about an hour.
Hey, do the Waltons ever get a refrigerator that you know of? They must, right?
I think they have, and I think there was mention of an ice box.
That's what he's using right now.
I'm sorry?
That's what he's using right now is an ice box.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
John Boy.
Whoops.
No more games or make believe. I can't read or write. You knew that. I want to learn. I'm asking you. Please teach me.
I'd like to.
This means a lot to me. But it has to be just between the two of us. All right?
Of course.
Your hand on it.
Certainly.
You've already given me the best present I've ever had.
What's that?
And she wrote her name, which is just really sweet.
You know, it's one of those, you know, reading and writing, it's such as John Boy says in this episode, it's something you, if you've learned how to do it since you know, really little, you take it for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like as with anything, you know,
something
like riding a bike or swimming or something like that. It's just something that's second nature because you've been doing it for so long. Gertie explains why she never learned to read and how she tried when her kids were younger and there's always like something in the way. She's always been busy and she would just make attempts to do it and just wouldn't be able to follow through. Elizabeth overhears the lesson and she's really confused, innocently too. She's confused. So let's see. Liv and Esther are back.
John Boy.
Oh, I missed you too.
Today will be my last day here.
Well, I thought maybe we could go on with the lessons at your home.
I'll pay you.
Oh, no, I couldn't take your money.
Then I couldn't take your time. Charity is one word I don't mean to learn.
She gets real mad about that. She does. Like, she has a thing with accepting anything.
Yeah, but I think the mother in the homecoming in the original pilot film, Olivia is the same way, actually.
No, I mean, I don't think nearly as much because it seems as though Gertie gets like kind of nasty about it a little bit.
Well,
I mean, I respect it. It's just, you know.
Sure, we could work something out.
So they're going to work something out. They go check on Erin and they're kind of like confused about Erin because she's supposed to start feeling better.
Right. She should be out of bed by this time.
She's just talking about all the things that Henry's brought her, a card and the flowers, and it's very nice. Let's see. Elizabeth is talking to the teacher, Mrs. Hunter.
I thought you and I had an agreement, Elizabeth. Didn't you promise you were going to do your homework faithfully?
Yes, Miss Hunter.
Yet the last two mornings you've come to school unprepared. Why did you break your promise?
I couldn't study, Miss Hunter.
Why not?
Because John was reading my books.
These shots are very interesting, too, because we're getting it from the perspective of Elizabeth. Like, it's a very low shot.
Now, Elizabeth, why would John Boy be using your books?
To teach Mrs. Grant to read and write.
Mrs. Verdi Grant?
Still says on the board, too, that's wrong. I don't know what that's all about.
She's been helping at our house. John Boy's teaching her.
Right? I mean, it says that's what I said. I don't know.
Yeah, probably one of the actors, you know, playing around on the board or something.
Of course.
So Mrs. Hunter's like, oh, goodness, I'm going to completely embarrass this woman because I'm
gonna... Yeah.
I think, what do you think about what she did and how she confronted Gertie?
I think it was not... I mean, she meant well, but I think she should have just...
Did she? I mean, what was she bringing to the table by meaning well? I feel like... It's not, I mean, here's some pamphlets. Like she's already getting help from somebody.
I guess you're right. You make a good point. Like she's making it seem like Verdi's disabled or something.
Right. Yeah. I didn't like it at all. And as a teacher, she should know better.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think it's more like, is there anything I can do now that, you know, it's one of those type of things. I really didn't like it.
To read what she writes to me.
Talking about how proud she is of her progress, and when she goes to see her daughter, she'll be able to write letters and receive letters, and she's just really excited about it, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
I was wrong, Verdi, about the Walton boy.
A few times in your life, you meet a person you know you can trust. John Boy is that kind of person.
I'm glad I was wrong.
Well, yeah, the cat's really out of the bag now. It's like, here we go.
Verdi, come in.
I'm sorry to have been so slow in finishing this for you, but I've been especially busy these last few days.
I know, and I want to congratulate you.
For what?
Selfishly, I wish I'd been the one to open the doors for you. Although I know that the important thing is that when you are ready, you've found somebody like John Boy who was able to give you the help you needed.
She's like, I should punch you right in the face.
You know.
What? Yeah.
And I've gotten together some pamphlets and some manuals that I think might be of some help to you.
Like, just because she sought help and is getting, you know, and learning this doesn't mean that it needs to be this open secret.
It bothers me.
It's so cringy.
Yeah.
And I don't blame her for being as mad as she got. It's just as a viewer's point of view, we're just kind of like, what? John Boy shows up at her house for the lesson. Go on.
And just before this, we see her walking out of the schoolhouse past some kids who are laughing. I think she thinks that they're laughing about her.
Immediately. You know, she has this
very
paranoia.
Mm-hmm. Why have you been playing this teaching game with me?
Mrs. Grant, I don't really think of it as a game.
Make you feel smarter? More important to watch this ignorant old black woman sweat over making the scratches that stand for a name?
You asked for my help, didn't you?
You don't have the gravel to laugh in my face. You wait till you get with your know-it-all friends. Do you show them how I stammer and stumble when I try to read? How I grip a pencil like it was a 2x4?
I'd never make fun of you.
Plenty of people around here would like to put Verdi Grant in her place. I built my whole life on cheating them out of that satisfaction. I kept to the limits your kind laid out for me, but I did it so well, with so much style, none of them could put me down. None of them! Till I trusted you.
Please tell me, what is it you think I've done?
We agreed the lessons was between the two of us. We shook hands on it. You broke your word.
I did not.
Don't waste your breath lying.
I'm not lying. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my own family. Why is it you think I've broken my word to you?
Please go.
Mrs. Grant, don't I have the right to...
Outside! In your world, you got all the rights. But not here in my house. I'm asking you once more to get out!
Oh, we get the crazy violin. The Charles Ingalls violin. So it's pretty intense. And,
yeah.
You know, she's a broken woman at point, and it's just...
She really feels very betrayed.
Yeah. So, let's see. Even her sister thinks like she's really just being a little too tough on good old JB.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I kind of admire Verdi standing up for herself the way she does. Like, in the way of saying, like, do you know what I'm getting at or no?
No, I think that she's wrong. She doesn't have any of the information. So she's...
Well, no, of course not. But of course she has the wrong information, but she's still... Never mind.
I know you want to. You want to say it's a racial issue, but it's not. So I don't understand how that would be an argument.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to try to, I mean, I'll easily shoot it down. It's just not. I mean, he's clearly, this has nothing to do with race. This has nothing to do with anything. He's teaching her out of the goodness of his own heart.
Oh, no.
So tell me what you were going to say.
What I mean is how she, because she thinks he's, right, in her mind, she thinks he's doing it because he's making fun of her and that. But she stands up for herself and says, even though she has the wrong information, she's still standing up for herself and saying, like, just because, you know, you're white and you have all these rights doesn't mean that I can't be as good as you white people.
Right. And you're asking me, like, how I felt about that, right?
Well, I'm saying
that's exactly what I thought you were saying. So the bottom line is this is not a racial issue and she didn't get enough information. This is somebody who's just helping her out of the kindness of his own heart. And instead she jumped to the wrong something conclusion. That it's simply not.
Yeah.
Going on.
Finally perceived and so finally felt as injustice. Charles Dickens, 1812 to 1870.
What's worrying John Boy?
Oh. Looks to me like he's lost a best friend.
Well, whatever it is, he'll get it out of his system by writing it down.
Maybe I'd better buy you a pencil and pad. Save me a lot of wear and tear on my eardrums.
They're always like giving zingers on each other, which is pretty funny.
Yes.
Elizabeth comes down and she's like, I think I'm going to go to hell because I told a fib. I can't sleep. I feel guilty. And that's how John Boy learns that Elizabeth told is the reason why.
Right. Yeah.
Why the teacher knows about this. John Boy says, don't we still owe her like a quart of wood or two quarts of wood, whatever it is. So he goes to deliver the wood and he wants to talk to Gertie.
Well, my little sister Elizabeth is the one who told Miss Hunter. She had absolutely no idea that she was spoiling a secret. I did not break my word to you.
Was that all you have to say?
No. I would like to continue with the lessons because they meant as much to me as they did to you.
I managed for 40 years without what you set such store by. And I'll make it fine for the rest of the time that I got left.
You still don't trust me?
It don't matter anymore.
Bertie.
So her sister is like, I just think you're just being strong-headed and you're wrong.
Stubborn.
Basically, is confronting Gertie on the whole thing. But Gertie's just, she just sees red. She just doesn't.
Yeah.
She can't be spoken to at this point. John Boy turns to Dad as he does in most episodes at one point or another.
Told her what happened, and it seems that she'd rather not trust. Seems that she'd rather not trust me. If you ask me, it seems like she needs to mistrust me.
Not just you, son.
No, Daddy.
Gotta remember how it's been for a lot of years.
No, Daddy, we were friends, and friends trust each other, and I want it to stay that simple.
It ought to be.
I like how they add the sound of the water in the radiator. It's a nice little touch for these cars.
Oh, yeah, I didn't notice that. Yeah.
Let's see. We have Erin still feeling
in bed.
Yeah, she's in bed, and we're looking at the thermometer with probably mercury in it back in those days.
No fever. Still feel so weak?
I do, Mama. My head swims if I think of getting up.
So you don't feel up to leaving your bed?
No, I really don't, Mama.
All right, dear. You know best. I'll tell Henry.
Henry? Is Henry here?
Stop by to see if you could go to the party at the church tonight. I told him I didn't think you felt up to it, but he said he'd come back.
I do feel some better, Mama.
No, Erin. You can't have it both ways. Sick when it suits you and fit as a fiddle when it doesn't. It's a dangerous game to get in the habit of playing.
I'm sorry, Mama.
We all need to feel we're the center of things sometimes. But taking to your bed is a very poor way of getting attention.
I see that, Mama. And if I can only go to the...
No, Aaron. I want you to remember what playing sick has cost you. But I'll tell Henry that you seem to be on the road to a rapid recovery. Hmm?
Yes, Mama.
So it's a tough parenting move.
Yeah.
But a fair one. Gertie comes to the school to talk to John Boy, and she wants to ask a favor of John Boy.
Yeah. I'm asking a favor. She sent back the money I sent her to buy a new graduation dress. I know something's wrong.
You know, I was thinking, I wonder how long it took the mail to get there and to come back.
Yeah, I mean, the timeline here, we don't have a timeline, really. But the bottom line is she sent back the letter basically saying, I don't want you to, I don't need a new dress. I need you to come here and fulfill the dream that you helped
provide. Both had.
Yeah. So that must really sting. So.
I was wrong about you. I was mean and unfair. I'm sorry. Will you... Can you give me another chance?
Generally, when I start something, I like to finish it too.
So they agree again.
Yeah.
And then John Boy hits her in the face and runs.
No.
And that's it. The end. It's the end.
No. The only time he ever gets violent is...
Remember, I'm still watching the show. So let's see. Gertie, this is another thing. We don't know. We don't have a timeline here.
Right. This is sometime later.
Yeah.
For everything.
So we're at the we're waiting for the bus to come take her away so that she can be there for her daughter Sarah. I like the way Gertie dresses. Her dresses are all like really solid.
Have a safe trip and give Sarah my congratulations when you get there.
You know I will.
And these straw hats were really popular back in the 30s, which I just think is really one of those really period correct type of things.
I've got my pencil and paper in my purse so I can practice signing my name.
Do it elegantly.
When I face that hotel clerk, I may forget everything.
Oh, no.
Worst comes to worst, I can always print, see spot, see spot, run.
So it's really nice. We get John Boy throwing in a total 1933 level joke.
Bertie? Don't forget to write.
Very nice. Let's see, we get the voiceover.
Attention.
Whoops, I shot over the voiceover. Got to catch the voiceover on correctly. Or not at all.
How to get attention without playing sick. How to keep from getting hung up on the barbed wire of old prejudices and grievances. As we fumbled towards answers to these and a thousand other questions, we were lucky to have the teasing of our brothers and sisters to keep us from taking ourselves too seriously, and the unfailing love of our mother and father to reassure and sustain us.
And you know, we get that final voiceover. Of course, we get the ending shot with the house and the goodnight John Boy type of thing.
Daddy?
Yeah, Jim Bob?
Will you wake me when you get up in the morning?
Sure thing. Big plans for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and I are going to dig a hole straight through to China, and I want to get an early start.
Good night, Jim Bob.
Good night, Daddy.
Very nice. So there we go.
And then they announce, then they announce next scenes from the next episode.
Yeah, which they don't. You know, it says, stay tuned for scenes from next
episode. Right, it's from the original broadcast.
Yeah.
Tape. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought this was very good. I thought this was a great episode. It was a lot of fun and it was very meaningful. And it definitely touched upon, for the period of time, a lot of issues with issues of adult literacy.
It's a good one.
But Matthew, thank you so much for taking the time to do this episode with me. I do appreciate it.
And well, thank you for inviting me. One thing I wanted to just mention, I didn't mention this about, I didn't know this about the actress Lynn Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Where did I find this? So I guess the creator Earl Hamner really enjoyed her performance. And apparently he at one time cast her in a TV pilot as the mother of a Waltons-like family in the 50s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I guess the series never...
What was the name of that series?
It doesn't say. It never...
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, it was ever... It doesn't say whether it was filmed or whether it was... But it never... Yeah.
It didn't come to fruition. Well, you know... It's a shame, but yeah, I really enjoyed her on the screen. I thought she was really great. And as we learned, she did more work than the school teacher, which is weird.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. But again, Matthew, thank you so much for doing this episode of the Waltons Podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
You can learn more about the Waltons Podcast at thewaltonspodcast.com or go on Facebook and just search for the Waltons Podcast.